Today's passage brings us to the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. We are about a third of the way into it. Possibly the most famous of Jesus' teachings are found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Jesus has been looking at the laws of the Old Testament and showing how he came to fulfill them. If we follow Jesus, we will find ourselves getting into the spirit of these laws and observing them from our hearts. The reading we have this morning does the same thing with two Old Testament laws, although this time they are not from the Ten Commandments. First, Jesus talks about the principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then he talks about the command to love our neighbor. Firstly, let us attend to the interpretation of God's word, which relaxes the intention of God. You have heard that it has been said. Here, Jesus is tackling the kind of scripture interpretation which relaxes God's commandments and teaches others to do so. You cannot understand the Sermon on the Mount except against the background of the teaching and practice of the scribes and Pharisees, who were the interpreters of scripture in Jesus' day. They were fundamentalists, but their interpretation had the effect of altering the scripture in subtle ways. May I underline for you in your mind this morning, if it hasn't already been dealt with by previous preachers. If it has, please forgive me. I'll repeat again. That Jesus said, you have heard that it was said. The two key words here are heard and said. Here, Jesus is not referring to the Old Testament, but to the oral interpretation and traditions of the scribes and Pharisees. If Jesus was quoting the Bible, he would have said, have you not read what was written? But here, he is talking about what was heard and what was said. In other words, he's dealing with the fallacies of second-hand Bible study ascribed by the scribes' own interpretation to the infallibility that belongs only to God's inspired word. It is vital we understand this morning that no scripture interpretation is infallible. However, interpretations encourages us as Christians to get into the scripture. Therefore, the whole aim of interpretation is to get people to read the Bible themselves, where they will find God's word as it actually is. I want to emphasize the phrase, you have heard that it has been said. Is Jesus' interpretation of scripture set against the scribal interpretation? It is therefore not the New Testament correcting the Old Testament, nor Jesus correcting the Father's law. No, sir. This is about Jesus correcting how the law has been reinterpreted by the culture of the day. And the difference is, Jesus' interpretation carries the authority of God, but that of the scribes and Pharisees did not. Jesus gives examples of where their interpretation is far too narrow and limited, and was the letter and not the spirit. And the danger in being literalist. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is an expression of justice quoted by Moses 3 times. But the contests were for specific injuries caused to first an unborn child, Exodus 21. Second, a deliberate disfigurement of a neighbor in Leviticus 24. And thirdly, causing perjury in court to pervert legal processes, Deuteronomy 19. This oldest human law in history is therefore an expression of justice. More importantly, in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a responsibility placed in the hands of the judges and not in that of the individual. But the scribe's interpretation gave anyone full permission to give him a black eye when he gave you one. And this was an utter perversion. It justified private revenge, and it led to the conception of the Jew, which appears in Shylock with his pound of flesh in Merchant of Venice. Now, remember, here, Jesus is not dealing with the question of public and political pacifism, nor is he cultivating indifference to social injustice, but rather Jesus is dealing with personal revenge. And what Jesus does is to get right to the heart and the spirit of both laws to prevent personal revenge and to urge us to love even our enemies. Jesus then takes us in God's direction of replacing fairness with love. As Jesus continues to teach what it means to be truly holy, the emphasis is on reconciliation instead of retribution. Teaching from a 3-part formula, Jesus offers first the common understanding of the Levite law. Then he gives the law a new twist by outlining higher expectations for applying it to God's kingdom living. And finally, he explains God's intent for the law in practical terms and examples. And at the end of the lesson, Jesus is asking us to be perfect, therefore, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It seems Jesus is intensifying the law. In some ways, fairness always ends up being about rules. Jesus, however, is always about people and relationships, where fairness might be the way of the world, it is not Jesus' way, nor his Father's way. God is God. He gives based not on who we are or what we think is fair, but on who he is. He does not act with fairness, but with love. What Jesus is talking about here is illustrated with practical examples. He gives 5 little cameos of what it looks like to live this out in practice. 1 cameo is assault. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. From my illustration, it seems the attacker is not giving the victim the chance to turn the other cheek, because the slap is right in the middle of the face. I will illustrate this with a true story. A certain young soldier knelt by his barrack bunk bed to pray, and two heavy army boots were thrown very hard at his head and caused him much pain. The sergeant sleeping opposite had thrown them. The following morning, the sergeant woke up. There were his boots, back again to his bed, polished. And the sergeant said, "I've got to find out what makes a man do that." He became a Christian as a result. The soldier returned good for evil, and that was divine. While fairness might make sense to us and to the world, it does not make sense to Jesus. The world doesn't need to be more fair. It needs to be more loving. Please, don't get me wrong. After this morning's sermon, someone told me at the door that fairness is good. Don't get me wrong, fairness is very good, but loving is better. Too often we are fair to the exclusion of love. But for Jesus, fairness is not the answer, but rather the problem that leaves us blind, toothless, and surrounded by brokenness. While most of us are not being physically struck across the face, each one of us have heard the gossip, name-calling, and labeling that stings like a slap on the cheek. What do we do with them? Fairness will only get us into a shouting match and replay the argument in our head, evil for evil, violence for violence, and word for word. These never change anything. They only escalate the violence and entrench us deeper in the way things already are. It only reveals who we serve and who guides our thinking and action. What does love look like in such context? How will we embody Christ in such moments? That is the question. Chances are, no one is suing us for our clothes. But have you ever felt that someone is demanding more of your bottle? No, excuse me. What I mean is more of you than you had or wanted to give. More of your time, attention, and assistance. In such situation, do we offer a defense, negotiate a fair settlement, or offer all we are and all that we have? May I be clear here that there are people, most often women and children, caught in violent and abusive relationship. Faithfulness does not demand someone to stay in that situation. Faithfulness, the choice to love, and the refusal to retaliate means protecting yourself and getting out of violent and abusive relationship. Another cameo is conscription. What about that extra mile? How far are we willing to go for love? In Jesus' day, a Roman soldier could require a civilian to carry his pack for a mile. Jesus goes beyond saying, go 2 miles. The first mile, I believe, signifies rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But the second mile is rendering to God the things that are God. In today's world, I suspect you have had days when another interrupts and disrupts your plans and routines. You hadn't planned on carrying their burden, sorrow and grief, loneliness, sickness or addiction, depressions or bad choices. Fairness says that is their problem, but love says journey alongside with them. There are also the higher issues of giving to the one who begs or borrows from us, loving and praying for our enemies, and following God's example to holiness and perfection. This is so different from the way that the world around us lives. In all these challenges, we are to stop being fair and start being loving. Fairness is a transaction. Love is a relationship. It's usually easier to be fair than to love. Love is messy and risky. It comes with burden and obligations. And above all, you can get hurt. Look at the life of Jesus. He carried our burden to the cross. That is not fair. That is love. However, Jesus is not issuing a call to the world. He is quite consciously calling us, Christians, to be something that the rest of the world is not, and to live in a way that the rest of the world does not. Jesus came to call each one of us this morning into himself and to show us the way of perfection. If we are to heal the brokenness in our lives, reconcile our relationships, and end the violence in our world, we have to stop being fair toward each other and start loving one another. Why? Because to return evil for evil is animal instinct. To return evil for good is satanic behavior. To return good for good is only human. That is fairness. But to return good for evil, like the soldier did, is divine. And that is what Jesus is calling us to. So how do we live divinely? The answer is to follow Jesus. For we are called to be his followers, where we have the help of God's Spirit in us to live in a way we would never manage otherwise. That indwelling spirit is both why and how we can be holy and live into perfection. Fairness can never change our lives and the world around us. Only love can do that. That doesn't mean, however, that we are just to sit there and take it. It means choosing love instead of fairness. It means loving our enemies and praying for them. The thing is, we most often discover our holiness, moves toward perfection, and reveal God's Spirit within, in us, in the painful, demanding, and burdened places in our lives. We don't have to go far to find those places. They are in all our relationships, the people we live with, in the places of work, the busyness of everyday errands, the victims of injustice, and the stranger on the street. Would we be fair or loving? The choice is love. Dear friends, remember that we are all human beings in need of God's love. As followers of Jesus, we are not called to lay over and let oppressive systems keep people in bondage. We are called to extend the love of God to everyone, no matter who they are or what they've done. Turn the cheek, go the second mile, give to the beggar, pray for the enemy, and by doing so, we will show the world God's perfect kingdom. My challenge to you this morning is, why settle for fairness when God offers holiness? Why maintain the status quo when Jesus shows and gives us perfection? In conclusion, my encouragement to each one of you this morning is go and love the fairness out of this world in Jesus' name. Amen.